The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Also pleased to be joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. A pleasant good evening to you. Special Wednesday edition of the program. Man, there's so much to talk about. The preseason schedule is out. The Bears have added a new offensive lineman. Patrick Manley's future is up in the air. Josh Freeman visited Hallis Hall this week. And Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall are working with one of the best quarterbacks in this upcoming draft class. But Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to see this on Twitter earlier this week, but our good friend Tom Thayer, out in Hawaii, you know, working on the tan, working on the golf game, posted a picture with his good buddy Jay Hilgenberg and the noted broadcaster known as Boomer, Chris Berman. They were out on the links earlier this week. Tom, how'd you do?
Oh, very poor. Very poor. A little windy, I'd like to blame it on, but in the crew, I was the worst of the golfers, and I went there just to accompany Jay Hilgenberg, who's a great golfer, and had a chance to spend a little time with, you said, Chris Berman. And I go there for the sights and the view of a golf course like the Plantation, but then you have a chance to watch some good golfers, and that makes it enjoyable too.
I want to hit something real quick here because the preseason schedule has been announced. And Jim, the games are as follows for the Bears. They're home against the Eagles in the preseason opener, which will take place somewhere between August 7th and the 10th. They're home against the Jaguars for game two, Thursday, August 14th, primetime game at Soldier Field. They're at Seattle for the pivotal third preseason game, somewhere between August 21st and the 24th. And then they'll most likely wrap things up on August 28th at Cleveland the way they usually do. For people who don't quite understand what an NFL team uses the preseason for, can you put it into perspective? Because it's not a true indicator of what's to come in the regular season, but it is important for certain different levels, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt, obviously, to get a look at a lot of the younger players. And you certainly don't want to show your hand offensively and defensively. What I mean by offensively, obviously, your trick plays. You'll run your basic base offense, those type of things. Defensively, I don't think Mel Tucker, he's going to experiment a lot. Maybe some of those games, he'll see who the good blitzers are, who are the guys who are good in coverage, call some man coverage to really check some guys out on tape. In terms of the defensive line, rotate guys in there, see how they do on certain stunts that he calls. And so really it's a lot of experimentation where you're coming out trying to get the questions answered that you have as a staff. Can this player do X, Y, or Z? And so you're trying to put those players in certain positions. Maybe one time it'll be focusing on the run game. Maybe they want to look at Michael Ford to see what he can do. Can they trust him to back up Matt Forte? Those type of things. Is Marquise Wilson, is he further along in terms of his route running receiving where we know, hey, we can count on this guy if one of our big stalwarts go down with an injury? So in terms of preseason, we know the third one is the most game planned, so that should be a good one against Seattle. The Eagles would be good in watching opening preseason to see how they stop a spread attack. That'll be basic by the Eagles, and so I think it's good. But certainly that Seattle game already raises my eyebrows a little bit because, like always, you want to see, you know, how you stand up against the world champions.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I agree with you. One thing I do like about the preseason is the diverse time that the organizations are going through right now. The Eagles in the second year of Chip Kelly in that big-time, high-flying offense, whether it's the preseason or regular season, I think it's a good opportunity for the Bears to be able to see it, especially Mel Tucker, when you do have concerns exactly what is your defense going to be and how do you perceive your talent lining up against the Eagles. New coaches in Jacksonville, and then you mentioned the big Seattle matchup. Whether the starters play a majority of that game or not, I think it's also good to go in and see the most hostile of environments in the preseason just to give some young guys an indicator what it's going to be like in probably 3 weeks from then when the regular season starts And then you never know what to expect out of the last game of the year, preseason. That's when you might have one or two guys just trying to make a big play on special teams or in regular offense just to get noticed for that roster spot that's still trying to be decided or on somebody else's roster. So I'm interested in the preseason because of the difference between the Eagles will be extremely different than Jacksonville, and then the environment in Seattle will be so much different than both of the two games that we're going to have experienced already.
There were a lot of moves that the Bears made this week, little moves that might end up being big moves before all is said and done, because as is almost always the case in the NFL, guys, every single person on the roster at some point is asked to contribute. And the Bears agreed to terms this week with the former New Orleans Saints center, Brian De La Puente, who had experience with Aaron Cromer with the Saints. What does he bring that the Bears did not have a year ago?
I think the opportunity to have experience, depth at center, and that's no slight to the backup of the Chicago Bears last year. Boggs. And again, he's a guy that goes out there and gives great effort and is really enthusiastic about his position. But with Aaron's experience, bringing in an offensive lineman that understands the system, could go step in right for Roberto and not skip a beat. And it also provides competition on the inside. So I'm never shy of bringing in an offensive lineman that the offensive line coach already has experience with, because that's an indicator that he does believe the guy can come in here and be a competitor.
They also brought in tight end Matthew Mulligan, an inline blocker. They claimed wide receiver Josh Bellamy, primarily a special teamer. He was cut by Washington over the weekend. And they brought in CFL long snapper Chad Rempel. Patrick Manley's future is up in the air as he continues to recover from hip surgery. He feels that if he can play, that he'll be a Bear. If he can't and the hip doesn't heal the way he'd like, then he's probably going to be forced to retire. So it's a wait-and-see type of situation with him. When we come back, want to get Jim's take on a quarterback that the Bears brought in for a workout this week and what it means going forward. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Care is bringing Bears fans another unique and exclusive opportunity to partake in this year's NFL Draft through the 2014 On the Clock Raffle. Visit chicagobears.com/on the clock to purchase raffle tickets and be entered to win. Alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you along here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, last year the Bears got extremely lucky with Josh McCown's ability to play the position when Jay Cutler got hurt, and they had a backup quarterback who was able to ascend and keep you in a position to fight for a playoff spot down the stretch. But those situations are rare, which might explain why, Jim, this week the Bears brought in a dozen players to work out earlier this week at Halas Hall, including former Bucs quarterback Josh Freeman. When you think of Mark Trestman's offense and what Freeman has or has not done in the NFL, what comes to mind?
I think he's extremely talented. People got to remember when he was drafted out of K-State, he was extremely raw, and Tampa Bay traded up to put themselves in the position to take Josh Freeman. Big guy, strong arm. You think about at that point, Raheem Morris was the then head coach of Tampa Bay, and he won 10 ball games. They went 10-6 with Josh Freeman as their starting quarterback, and it looked like his career was ready to take off. Even back in 2012, this guy threw for over 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. That's not chump change in the National Football League. So he's extremely talented, but again, I think he's raw. When you look at the level of competition in college and then obviously how his career is bounced around, everybody was questioning the work ethic down in Tampa. Greg Schiano, as we know, very big disciplinarian. Who did they ship out of there? LeGarrette Blount, pretty good running back. Aqib Talib, pretty good cornerback. Josh Freeman gets benched and then shipped off to the Minnesota Vikings, and I thought it was really a bad spot for him in Minnesota, who is still thinking about signing him and bringing him back, and I know that for a fact. Can the quarterback whisperer Mark Trestman reach him? There's a lot there to work with. I will say that with Josh Freeman.
Jim, in your evaluation of Josh Freeman, what's going to be more important for you, getting him back on the field and watching his drops and his arm mechanics, or is it be getting him on the blackboard to see how well that he can digest the information to get it out of his mouth and understand what he's saying? Because it looks like he does have the athleticism. You know, until you're a real quarterback and you're not privy to sit in front of a guy, it's hard to determine that.
No, that's a great point, Tom. I think he's a player that's got to be stripped down and built back up. I don't think Greg Schiano was very good for his confidence down there. And some of it was self-induced with the work ethic. There's no doubt about that. And it was a very difficult situation he was thrown in Minnesota, which if you listen to Leslie Frazier and the other coaches that were there, Josh Freeman, even Rick Spielman, the general manager, he said he was a model citizen, did everything that they asked him to do. But I think the confidence part of it is shaken with Josh Freeman and how he was shipped out the door in Tampa. You know, now can Mark Trestman tap into that, teach him what he needs? Because I think that would be the right way to do it. You can't assume that any player, even quarterback or no matter what position they play, you can't assume he's been taught those things at his previous place of employment. You've got to teach him your way of doing things and how you want things done, how you want the defenses read, who is your progression read system, how you're going to deal with blitzes, audibles, all those things. So Mark Trestman or the Bears, they can't assume Josh Freeman knows all these things. They've got to teach him, and there's a good canvas there in terms of the athleticism with Josh Freeman that they can teach him those things because he's proven he can play. It would be an upgrade at the backup spot over Jordan Palmer if they were to sign Josh Freeman.
And it should be pointed out that when you look at Trestman's career as a teacher of quarterbacks, as an offensive guru in the NFL, he's had a number of guys who have had their best years later on in the NFL, whether it was Rich Gannon, who was an MVP, whether it was Josh McCown last season. Even Jay Cutler continues to ascend. He's in his 30s now. And with Freeman, you're not talking about a guy who's 30 at this stage of his career. So there's a lot of learning that can take place.
It's the old adage. I mean, when you start bouncing around and learning new systems, and what I mean by that, Greg Olsen was his OC down in Tampa, and then they hire a new one. And then there's a whole new changeover in terms of the staff. When you look at Greg Schiano coming in, then what Greg Schiano do? He brought in the quarterback coach of the New York Giants, so they had to learn new things down there in Tampa. That's a lot to ask of a young quarterback. Alex Smith has gone through it for the Kansas City Chiefs and come out the other side. He's had a lot of different offensive coordinators and finally is like Teflon and knows enough about the game where it doesn't bother him anymore. I think Matt Castle's one of those guys. And Josh Freeman and any young quarterback, when you first arrive in the NFL, you need to be taught those things. There's no guarantee that every college out there that they're being taught, hey, this is cover two, this is cover three, this is a 3-4, this is a 4-3, here's your read on this, and teaching them what is a 4-3 or a 4-3 cover two designed to stop, and explain defenses to them, and they need to be taught. And I think that's the benefit of Mark Trestman. He can teach the position. And so many quarterbacks get thrown to the wayside because they are not taught those things when they enter the National Football League. It's assumed that they know, and they don't know. They're thrown a playbook, and they say, basically, good luck. Try and survive. And some guys are so talented that they can do it. But the good ones that really excel and really have the drive to be great, they are taught, and they continue to work at it to improve their craft.
You know, one more point about Coach Trestman and the way his system travels well and his teaching of the quarterback. You look at the age of his quarterback when he left the Canadian League. He was near or in his 40s. So here's a guy, again, experienced the best part of his career when he's as mentally invested as he needs to be. Physically invested is something that everybody, every professional athlete needs to invest in. But the mental investment, I think that's the personal challenge to everybody. You cannot make mental errors, and this is a system that you have to know as well as Coach Trestman.
It should be pointed out, though, that the Bears do need to get younger at the position. Isn't it time also to start thinking about developing somebody? Phil Emery said last year, in an ideal world, he would be able to draft a quarterback every single season just to see what you've gotten and have an opportunity to develop somebody. I bring that up because Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall have been working with Teddy Bridgewater, the Louisville quarterback down in Florida. Bridgewater and Marshall share the same engine. And obviously, I'm not saying that they're looking at Bridgewater because he's a guy that could end up going in the first round. But do you think that the focus, while it's going to be heavily on defense in this upcoming draft, that you have to take a look at some of these young quarterbacks because you have to think long-term with the future of the Bears, Jim?
Definitely. If anything, I think it gives you ammo even if the young guy doesn't touch the field. You know, how many times have we seen Philadelphia? They got trade value for Kevin Cobb. Think about the New England Patriots. I mean, Ryan Mallett from Arkansas may never touch the field. His contract's going to be up at the end of the year, and they were offered a third-round draft pick for Ryan Mallett a year ago. So even though a guy's on your team and we expect Jay Cutler to play 5 years and say you draft a guy in the middle rounds and you develop him, where word on the street is, hey, this guy is well taught under Mark Trestman. He could become a hot commodity. We really liked him coming out of the 2014 draft. So, you know, I agree. To me, the new collective bargaining agreement, it's peanuts what you're paying these quarterbacks. You might want to think about taking one, and it could be compensation down the line.
We're just a few minutes away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number again. 312-644-6767. You guys go rapid-fire style with your questions for Tom Thayer. And the best question of the segment, according to Jim Miller, that caller will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority next on Bears All Access. Zaidman, Thayer, Miller right here on The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's time to play Ask Tom. It's where we go rapid fire with your phone calls about the world of football for Tom Thayer. And we've got Judge Jim Miller, the Bears' former quarterback, is sitting there with his legal pad taking notes on every single caller. And at the end of the segment, Jim will decide the best caller of that segment with the best question for Tom, and that person will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. It's been pretty good so far, right, guys?
Yeah, it has. I mean, we've had each week that we've done this segment, we've had people that listen, pay attention, and they're curious about different aspects of the game and the era, the time, and the perceived changes of what the Bears are going to go through this season.
Yeah, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. There are a whole bunch of different topics to talk about. The Pro Bowl's moving to Arizona after next season. Cutler, Marshall working with Teddy Bridgewater. You've got NFL players and NFL owners meeting this week to discuss the league workplace environment. Adrian Peterson coming out, the Vikings running back, saying that college players should get paid. Want to get your thoughts on that. The Bears bringing in Brian Delapuente, Matthew Mulligan, Josh Bellamy, Chad Rempel. Freeman had a workout this week, so there's a lot to talk about. Ready to begin?
Yes, let's get at it, Zach.
All right, let's begin the festivities with Jeff. Jeff, you are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Tom and Jim, thanks for so many great memories making my life worth living.
Oh, good.
I'll get right to it. I'd like to know why everyone in town, and I'm especially counting on you guys in the media, are not jumping up and down to get Josh Freeman. Just what you guys were talking about, you want a young quarterback or you want to get younger, he's 26 years old. Secondly, two of the last 4 years, he has been statistically superior to Jay Cutler. Not every other backup quarterback in the NFL, statistically superior to Jay Cutler. He had a year in 2010 as a 22-year-old that Cutler has never attained in his life. He had a rating of 95. He had a touchdown-interception ratio of 26-7, I believe. Their lifetime touchdown-interception ratios are almost identical. Freeman's at, for every 20 touchdowns, he throws 16 picks, and for every 20 touchdowns that Cutler throws, he throws 15 picks. 2 years ago, as recently as 2012, Freeman threw for 4,000 yards while Jay was limping to 3,000. It's amazing to me.
Jeff, what's the question?
No, I think his question is, why would you not want to sign a guy like Josh Freeman? I think the obviousness that they brought him in to even give him an evaluation and a consideration, there's a lot of details they have to go through. You can't be enamored with a guy that's had early success in his career but then doesn't have the work traits to really invest himself, to know the mental aspects of the game, to really fulfill all of his abilities. I don't think anybody's down on Josh Freeman, but they do have some heavy-duty investigative work. because I think it's more important for Josh Freeman to play for Mark Trestman than Mark Trestman to have Josh Freeman. You look at creating value that Jim Miller talked about, it's already been done with Josh McCown, so I think it's more important to have the coach than the player right now.
And your call's coming up at 312-644-6767 in mere moments here on Ask Tom. Again, 312-644-6767. But it reminds me a lot, Tom, of what the Bears did last year around this time. Remember they brought in Jamarcus Russell for a workout? Sometimes you just want to take a look at certain guys who may be out there in the event that the quarterbacks that you have on your roster get hurt and you're forced to bring people in. Remember, people weren't talking about Josh McCown as a surefire backup that you're confident in a year ago at this time. He earned it by his play on the field, and it's clear that Mark Trestman has some of that type of confidence when it comes to Jordan Palmer and what he was able to do in his brief time as a Bear last season.
I admire the exhaustive research that Phil Emery and his staff is willing to go through to look at every piece of talent out there. Piece of talent, I mean that respectfully, in the fact that where they're talented at, quarterback, offensive line, defensive line. And I always remember back to the day that Robbie Gould came to the Bears, and he came with five or six other kickers and had a winter tryout, and he was the one that they determined to be the best, and his talent has shined ever since. So no one out there is ever unscoutable. But then again, you get a clear message when you do spending the time to scout someone to see if they even deserve a chance to be on a roster or in a camp.
At stake is a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We continue Ask Tom with Masir in Bolingbrook.
Hey, Masir. Masir, Bolingbrook.
Yeah, Masir is not there. And, you know, I understand it. Sometimes it happens, Tom. You know, anytime you get an opportunity to talk to an 85 Bear, I know Jim Miller goes through this. The knees start to buckle a little bit. It happens, right?
Right. I don't think so. I don't think that's the case.
How did Chris Bourbon react, Tom?
They just trying. All I'm trying to do is keep my golf ball in play so I don't become that player that's holding, you know, that says in the golf cart, you're now so many minutes behind.
All right, Masir is back with us. Apparently, it was just a phone connection thing, more so than anything else. So we'll pop Masir back on the air here. Ask Tom, Masir.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Masir?
Very nice listening to you guys. Very, very, very informative.
Thank you. What's your question?
My question was that from a football standpoint, why is it so hard for a cornerback to convert to a safety?
Probably because, you know, cornerbacks have unique traits in their athleticism, their fluidity, their ability to predetermine the whereabouts of a pass as it's released from the quarterback's hand, their ability to think offensively and play defensively. And then there's a lot more physical tackling on the inside from the safety position. You're going to play closer to the line of scrimmage. Although in the defenses you are challenged as a cornerback to be a tackler, I just think there are significant size differences and just athlete traits inside those two positions.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Ask Tom. We continue the festivities with Bill. You're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Bill.
Hello.
How you doing, Bill?
Hi. I've got a question about defensive line terminology. You know, I've heard all these terms like three technique, five technique, nose tackle, and over and under.
Right.
Could you just give a quick explanation of what all that means?
The numbers, the three technique, the five technique, that's the specific position of the defensive lineman. If you're an offensive line and you're looking straight out and you're the center position and you have the guards to your right and left and tackles and so on, depending upon the specific position of the defensive lineman, that's the numbering system exactly where that. If he's in a three technique, he's in the outside eye. The defensive tackle is in the outside eye of each offensive guard or one of the two. That's in the three position, and then it's numbered according 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 right down the line. But then when you're talking about over and under, that's a balance. That's if you have, again, starting at the center, and if you have all the defensive personnel shift more heavy to the right side of the offensive formation than the left, then that's an over formation towards the offensive strength. If they call it as an under, that moves away from the strength of the offense and puts more personnel towards the weaker side of the offensive system, sometimes to overpower, outman, or blitz in that position.
Good stuff, Tom. Thank you very much. Our final caller here on Ask Tom, Dave in Huntley. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Dave, ask Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
Good. I had a question with special teams. I noticed on when watching the game, when we're punting, why does the coverage team, why doesn't he go in motion so he doesn't get blocked as he's going down the field? And I also noticed a couple times this year that when the defender is catching the ball, that they let the ball bounce, and one of our Bear players, like, gets close to the ball, almost ready to touch it, and he can get blocked into it, correct?
Yeah, but it's kind of a strategy the returner tries to do. They try to block the defender into it and then pick up the ball, because once the defender touches it, it's a dead ball at that spot. And the first part of your question about special teams, can you help me out, Zach?
Why they don't put
people in motion.
Oh,
why they don't
put
the guy in motion. You know, I just think it's trying to gain position advantages on the specific spot where the punt is going to be caught. I think when you put a guy in motion, sometimes you take a challenge of getting him out of position, because the direction of the punter and where he's going to hit the ball is specific to hopefully a 5-yard area. And that's, you know, the key is they're determining that their widest guys can beat the blockers downfield, even if they don't have them in motion, because sometimes they can motion themselves right out of position and be exposed to a return touchdown.
If I was a head coach, I would say that after this segment, not quite ready for the regular season yet. It was a little bit touch and go here with some of the questions, but
they're all
someone...
good questions. I mean, it takes, you got to think about them a little bit, and you know, it's just it's difficult to answer them correctly, and because they're such good questions.
Well, let's find out who Jim Miller is going to pick as the best question of the segment.
Here's what I think right now. All rise. The judge has ruled. I'm going to go with Messier because he asked about how it's different from a safety and cornerback and how they play the position, or why can't a quarterback move to safety. So Messier wins the Sports Authority gift certificate.
Congratulations, Messier, according to Judge Jim. When we come back, let's continue to pick up on that safety point, because the Bears lost one this week. Who's going to replace Major Wright in the lineup? That's next on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard. Let's talk a little bit about the safety position. It's a hot-button topic when it comes to Bears fans, guys, and people were not happy with the play of the defense overall last season, but also the safety play. And Major Wright left via free agency, signed on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. The Bears brought in Ryan Mundy, who will compete for a starter's role. Chris Conte's coming off the shoulder surgery. They have a bunch of other guys that they brought in, including M.D. Jennings, the former Packer. But you look around that area where the Bears are drafting, 14th overall in the first round, there are a couple of big-time college safeties that are ripe for the taking, whether it's Louisville's Calvin Pryor or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix out of Alabama. What direction do you think the Bears are going to go in, Jim?
Just looking at what they've done, I think the Bears have left it open that they can take truly the best player available, because I think, again, we've talked about defensive tackle. If there's, say, a quality pass rusher, they could go in that direction. Safety or corner, I think, is on the table at that position. So I think truly if the Bears say, all right, hey, here are the four guys or five guys that we've diagnosed in the first round that we would be happy to have, and say a defensive tackle like Aaron Donald is off the board at University of Pittsburgh, or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the Alabama safety, is off the board, then, hey, then they could turn their sights to, say, a Calvin Pryor, a Louisville, or, say, one of the top corners, if Justin Gilbert or Darquez Denard of Michigan State, or even Fuller, another talented corner, coming out in this draft. So I think they've given themselves a lot of flexibility where they can be happy, where they don't have to trade up or trade down. They'll be happy with the four or five players that they've targeted in that round, and they'd be happy coming out of round one with any of those players that they targeted.
Jim, when you think of offenses as explosive as the Eagles were last year and what maybe some teams will be in the future because of what Chip Kelly has introduced to the offense, are you a guy now that wants to look for a person that has the traits of a cornerback because of those multi-diverse big passing offenses, even with Aaron Rodgers and such in this division? Or can a safety morph to that corner position, that third corner, and really be effective inside the highest of powered offenses?
Well, that's a great point because, again, I go back to the Senior Bowl where they had a lot of the safeties try out as corners because of the Legion of Boom out there in Seattle. Look at how big those corners are. Do we have safeties that could convert to corner? And I'd also point to a team like the New Orleans Saints that run a lot of three safety sets. What Tom and I know is three safeties on the field at the same time. That's called big nickel. They did it last year with Kenny Vaccaro, who was a high draft pick last year, first-round pick. They did it with Malcolm Jenkins, who's now a part of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they did it with Roman Harper. And so teams like the Bears say, you mentioned, how do you match up against the Eagles? Let's say if the Eagles elect to put Celek, their tight end, and Zach Ertz, another talented tight end, on the field at the same time. Hey, it's nice to have three safeties. It's nice to have guys that can come up and run like corners, like a Ha-Ha Clinton Dix or a Deion Buchanan out there at Washington State. These are guys that have gone blitz zero, and they played numerous times against the extended set tight ends that a lot of teams feel it's a better matchup rather than putting a smaller corner. You'd rather have a bigger safety who's 210 pounds going against tight ends like that. So it's a great point. I think a lot of teams are looking at their big nickel package now with the emergence of tight ends around the league.
You know, one thing, too, is you need one aggressive safety. I don't think you can make a living anymore in the NFL with two passive safeties. And when you look at Vaccaro from New Orleans, when he came in there and started lighting people up, that kind of exposes a little bit of head swivel in the interior of that defense for the receiver. So I do still think, as much as you do need the great traits of a corner, you still need that one guy that's going to come in receivers, tight ends, running backs are going to have some concern for out of the backfield.
You do want a safety that at times can be able to blitz like Vaccaro when you know you're lined up right against that tight end, you get close to the quarterback, or you want a guy that can really knock you out the way Cam Chancellor did. If you look at the Super Bowl, remember when, I forget the receiver that went over the middle.
Oh, Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, but and he popped him right away, changed the whole complexion of the game, in my opinion.
There's no doubt. I think it sets a tone that Tom just mentioned, that those guys, hey, you may have the most prolific offense, but don't think we're not here to challenge you. And Seattle just flat out hit one of the greatest offenses that have ever been put in the NFL in the Denver Broncos. They out hit them, they outplayed them, they out schemed them, out physicaled them. And I think if you go back in the history of football, there's not one game plan that doesn't involve out hitting your opponent. You really can make your opponent submit. I don't care how good your X's and O's are. At the end of the day, it comes down to hitting, comes down to tackling, and it comes down to your heart. And some guys in the fourth quarter, when you're getting banged around for the first three, it tests your will because they may not want it. And you can, you know, really, like I said, force your opponent to submit, where you can say, screw the X's and O's. We're just going to flat out physical this team.
Tom always brings up the point that it doesn't just help you in that particular game that you're playing, but when your next opponent starts to watch video of the game before and he watches someone who is just hammered over the middle, changes the way you think when you're going over the middle in the next week's game against that opponent, right, Tom?
Well, you know what? It probably changes Jim more than me because it's the receivers going back to the huddle every time saying, Jim, don't lead me too much. Don't make me go too high over the middle. All those types of things. But, yeah, it does, you know. One thing that I noticed about the Super Bowl, when Peyton Manning had to audible the very first play of the game, I think that puts Seattle in charge. Because if they didn't have a play coming out of the box where they're 100% confident with and they're just going to be able to get their feet wet, come out of their stance, and go on to second down, you saw what that created. And that's because with the defense complexities that the opponents were used to seeing every day, they outthought themselves too quickly, and that's the thing with that defense, is being able to be over aggressive up front because of the confidence they have in back.
When we come back, want to get your opinion on what Adrian Peterson, the Vikings running back, had to say about college athletics, college football, how that's going to affect the NFL going forward. That's next on Bears All Access with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Less than a month to go before the NFL draft, guys, and it's been a hot topic of conversation around the world of college sports. Should college players be given the right to unionize? Should they get paid? All this kind of stuff. And right now, because it's been collectively bargained, players can't join the National Football League draft until 3 years spent at college. So what's interesting is when you hear guys like Vikings running back Adrian Peterson say, quote, "I feel like as much money as universities make, some of that should come down to the players as well." So basically he's saying that college players should get paid. You guys played college football at mega universities, Jim Miller at Michigan State, Tom Thayer at Notre Dame. When you see what the kids are talking about right now at the college level, Tom, do you agree with players at that level getting paid?
No, I think if the kids were saying what they were thinking, they're saying what they're being told to say. And I think when you go and you get a scholarship and you get the opportunity to get educated and you get a chance to go and support your university to create an income that can support other aspects of the school, of the university, of students, of faculty and facilities and all that, I think that's the big picture. I'm not in agreement with these guys getting paid because I think the head coach of Stanford said, "We teach these people so they know how to earn money." And that's the case here. I'm not in agreement with these players should be paid money because the opportunity they're given to get an education that all these other kids are paying for, that's the benefit we get.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on this. Do I think players should get a stipend where maybe they can take their girlfriend out to a dinner and movie? Yeah. You know, what's that? Maybe an extra $500-$600 a month? Big deal. I also think universities should give every kid on the team a cell phone. You want to know why? Now they have the ability to track them, to find, make sure they're out of trouble. Hey, why aren't you in class today? We're seeing that you're in the parking lot at 7-Eleven. Why aren't you in class? You know. So, but I'm with Tom. I don't think college players should be getting salaries like that and become employees. But I also thought, just to forward this story a little bit, how about the state of Ohio? What they did today? The Ohio legislature passed a law stating that students are not employees. So already, you already know where this is going. This is going to be what the ruling with the Labor Relations Board and what came out of that Northwestern case in the state of Illinois is probably going to be the slow grind of government that is, this thing is going to be delayed in court for many years to come is what's going to happen.
You know, Jim, there's so many examples along our football life of the reason why you shouldn't get paid. You know, there's guys that I went to Notre Dame with, and the very first day of drills of their freshman year got injured and never played, never stepped on the field as an active athlete, but they still graduated at the end of their four and a half or five years, whatever it was for them. And so if you're now a paid employee and you hurt yourself and you're not able to play football, do you have to go get another job given to you by someone associated with the university so you're working the same amount of hours that you would be invested as a football player? You know, there's different ropes that they're going to have to go through to order to get the language of this thing understood, that if you do get injured your first drill, now what do? Do you become a maintenance worker, a landscaper, what? And so those are, you know, difficult obstacles that they have to overcome when they're trying to intermix sports and employees at a college age when the kids are there from 1 to 4 years.
And that's a good point, Tom, because if you don't know how scholarships are handed out, those are actually one-year deals. It becomes the team, or I should say the team, the university has to renew those scholarships every year. But most teams, when they offer that scholarship, they will honor that scholarship. And like you said, Tom, I had numerous guys who I played with that they got hurt, could not, or just didn't, care for football, things of that nature, but yet Michigan State still honored that scholarship and wanted them to get their degree. And those players participated absolutely nothing on the football field. And so there's so many things that the can of worms that this could open in terms of that Northwestern case and King Coulter, who's really been the face of it, that this is going to go a lot of different directions when it's all said and done. Probably is going to end up in the Supreme Court.
Now, the argument on the other side is that no one's forcing these guys to go and play college football, but if someone coming out of high school wanted to play in the NFL, they can't do that. So should high school players be given the right, as soon as they graduate, to at least be entered in the NFL draft, so that way you can make a choice?
It's a safety maturity issue. It's not the fact that the kid doesn't have the desire to go to an NFL training camp. There's a lot of kids do. But you know what happened to those kids in an NFL locker room training camp? That whole atmosphere, it's they are not physically or mentally ready to go in there and compete. I believe that they're trying to keep kids healthy and not injure them quicker.
Yeah, it's much different than, say, basketball or baseball, where you can be in a farm system and develop and get pulled up through the ranks, Class A, Double A, Triple A, and even basketball. Granted, we have seen great athletes explode onto the scene coming out from high school. But football, physically, it is much different. The demands of the game, a lot of these players coming out of high school are just not physically able to compete in the National Football League. I actually know a guy who played in semi-pro football, then jumped to the National Football League. His name was Ray Seals, and he didn't even go to college, but did play semi-pro ball for a couple of years, and that's what got him noticed.
Eric Swan did the same thing for the Arizona Cardinals, who was a heck of a player.
When we come back after this short break, I want to ask you guys what these potential draft picks are going through right now. When teams bring them into the facility, and it's happening across the NFL, what's a meeting like with the general manager, the head coaches? I want to know what happens behind the scenes. We'll find out from Tom Thayer and Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you. All right, so everyone watches that Gruden show, Gruden camp, where he brings in all the top prospects that play quarterback, and he has them diagram stuff on the board, and they go out to the field and, flip the football around. Jim, could you imagine if you had that kind of exposure while you were going through this whole process as a player trying to get drafted?
I can't believe it. I mean, we're televising pro days right now. I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime, because back in the day, it'd be nothing for four teams to show up and say, hey, can you throw a football? Well, I just threw an hour ago, but yeah, we'll go out and throw it again and see what you want me to do. But obviously it says how the NFL can sell itself. There is a demand out there. We see that they've opened up the combine. They sell tickets at the combine. They sell tickets, believe it or not, at media day at the Super Bowl. So there's a thirst for it. Fans want to know. They want to see it. And, it's giving fans more access to the process and how it unfolds.
For those of us that had so much excitement, enthusiasm, desire to play in the NFL, we would have done anything asked of us at any time, at any point, to get evaluated by the teams, and that's the way you went about business. Again, there were three combines during my time, and then you had the personal visits. So you're basically, your whole second semester was going trying to improve yourself week in and week out. And then uniquely enough for me, as I came out in the USFL, NFL bidding war opportunities, and there was confusion added to it because I had George Allen and the Chicago Blitz tugging me in one direction, and then the NFL and the different options that you had, present there, they were pulling you in a different direction. So it was confusing, but the excitement of the opportunity was so overwhelming and so much greater than anything else I was asked to do, I was willing to do anything I could to get into professional football.
You guys know Phil Emery, Mark Trestman, Mel Tucker, Aaron Cromer. When the Bears bring in people now for workouts, what's taking place at Halas Hall? What are they looking for? Because they know how the particular player performed on the field. They've watched all the video. So what are they looking for in these specific meetings, Jim?
Well, I think some it's misdirection. People were making a big deal out of New England bringing in Johnny Manziel and another quarterback. That probably New England, does it mean that those quarterbacks slide? Or is it future intel? maybe you want to get the up-close personal interview with that player. Where's maturity level at? He could be a player who you're adding to your roster down the roll, down the road. So you're adding it to your Rolodex in your file cabinet about future players that now you can go back and say, hey, we interviewed him. We brought him in on an interview. Let's go back and look at some of the things that he answered to our questions. So some of it is misdirection, and some of it is, hey, let's get a feel for this young man. What's his family life like? How's he grown up? What sports has he been involved in? Where's maturity level at? Because some players will knock your socks off. I'll give you a case in point today. I did a show on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I did an interview with Odell Beckham of LSU, one of the top receivers coming out in this year's draft. Interview that guy, he'll blow your socks off. Very impressive young man.
I think that's a key ingredient here. I think Johnny Manziel has been the most well-coached interviewee up until the coming up to the draft. I think he needed to change the public perception of himself, and maybe he's been able to do that. But I just want to look into a player's eyes and know that he has the desire to do whatever it takes to earn a position on the field once he comes inside Hallis Hall.
Guys, thank you so much. Our next edition of Bears All Access comes your way Monday evening right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, executive producer Greg Miller and Jim Padgett, we've got Herb Lawrence and Rick Camp on the other side of the partition. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.